Okay, Boker Tov, everyone. We are going to discuss today the question of, is there such a thing as davening too slowly? And there's some interesting material, some interesting agadic material that we'll see, which will shed some light on this question. And then towards the end, we'll come down to some of the practical halacha of this question. So we're going to start with a Gemara in Masechet Brachot on Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, which is on the first page of your handout in the left column. It says as follows: Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, Kach hayam in hagol shel Rabbi Akiva. This was the custom of Rabbi Akiva. Kishayamit palel im hatzibur, when he would daven together with the congregation, haya mikatzer ve'oleh, he would shorten his prayer and finish, or ascend, meaning finish your prayer, he would daven quickly. Ve'torach tzibur, because of the burden that would otherwise be placed upon the congregation. Presumably the burden is that they would wait for him until he completed his davening before they would move on. And here we're talking about starting the repetition of the Amidah. So since they would wait for him, he didn't want to burden the congregation. And so he shortened his prayer. We have to see what exactly he did to shorten his prayer. Did he rush? Did he skip? We'll have to see what that means. Ukishayamit palel beino leben atzmo. However, when he would pray by himself, adam manicho bezavit zo umotzo bezavit acheret. A person would leave him and see him that he started davening in one corner of the room, and find him that when he davened, he had davened in another, he had ended up in another part of the room. V'kol kach lama, and why did he move around so much? V'pnei chriyot v'ishtachaviyot, because of the bowings and prostrations that he engaged in during prayer.
This is not the Amidah, because the Amidah he would not be able to move either.
Well, no, we do have bowings and prostrations in the Amidah.
There's no moving.
Well, no, he bowed. No, I think what the Gemara is saying is he bowed and prostrated with such vigor and such excitement that he ended up moving.
I want to ask a question. Kriyot is not being bowed, means kneeling. So was that just like we do bend from the knee, or in the old, when those days would they actually kneel?
No, I think it means bowing, like what we do.
Because kriya is kneeling. The
well, we don't really kneel. We bend at the
like
knees.
What we do. That's
yeah,
what
we do.
What
yeah.
So
yeah.
By that time, they weren't bending at the knees.
Yes. No,
they
no.
They were kneeling on the ground. Right?
So it's a question of what exactly he was doing, right? So the problem is, first of all, we have another Gemara, a few pages, a few pages later on Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph, that says you're only supposed to bow at the specified times of the Amidah. So what was Rabbi Akiva doing, bowing all this time? Was it only during the specified times of the Amidah, or did he have some other practice? So a number of the Rishonim say that what this means is that Rabbi Akiva had additional tichinot that he added in the Amidah, additional supplications that he added in the Amidah, and it was during those that he would do the kriyot and hishtachaviyot, which brings us back to the question of davening for a long period of time. Why was Rabbi Akiva's davening long, and why and how did he shorten it when it came to davening with the minyan in order not to cause them any tircha, any trouble, any
stress.
Problems? Right. So for that, let's look on the last page of the handout for a moment. Actually, the second to last page 4 of the handout. And this is a copy of the Birur Halacha. This is where we're getting a lot of our source material from this Gemara that prints it all in one neat place at the end of the Gemara. So we're just going to read this top line. The title is Kitzur B'Tfilah Kishemet Palel B'Tzibur, shortening one's davening when they daven with the congregation. Rabbeinu Yona, Rabbeinu Yehonatan, Miva'arim, Sherabi Akiva, Lo Haya Mikatser Minusach HaTfilah, Elarak B'Tachanunim Uva'amirat HaMilim. So Rabbi Yonah says, let's be clear on what Rabbi Akiva did to make his prayer short. He didn't at all edit or alter the nusach of the tefillah. Right? The actual text of the Amidah, he said exactly the same way whether he was going to daven a long Shmona Esrei or he was going to daven a short Shmona Esrei. He did not change that at all. So how did he shorten his Amidah? One way is he didn't add extra tachanunim. Right? At the end of davening in Elokai Netzur, there is opportunity, that's the tachanunim section. Right? We ask God to Netzur l'shoni meira, right? Usvatai medaber mirma. We ask God to guard our tongue against speaking evil, etc. But that just happened. Those happen to be the tachanunim that are printed in the sidurim. Those are the ones that are more accepted. I happen to have a sidur that has another paragraph of tachanunim that is inserted into the middle of Elokai Netzur. And in that Elokai Netzur, you could add anything you want. Technically, the Amidah is over, and you could add any tachanunim you want. It's like a catch-all opportunity.
I thought you do the ending in Shema Kolenu.
You could do it in Shema Kolenu too, but what Rabbi Yonah is saying is he wouldn't do it in Shema Kolenu.
Ah, so he could finish.
Right, because he would finish. And he wouldn't do it either in this part of Elokai Netzur, so he could finish. But what did he do when he davened alone? When he davened alone, presumably he had lots of additional tachanunim that he added. Not only that, Amirat Hamilim seems to indicate that he said the words very slowly, maybe thinking about each specific word for a period of time, which he did not do when he was davening Betzibur. So there are two. So now we know what Rabbi Akiva, according to Rabbi Yonah, we know what Rabbi Akiva did to create a long davening. And he just took those things out in order to shorten the davening. To create a longer davening, he would read slower, and he would add tachanunim. That was his normal way of davening, or the davening he did when he was not in a minyan. Mm-hmm. But when he was in a minyan and he knew people were going to wait for him, then he would speed up. So here we have an indication. If you want to answer our question, is there such a thing as davening too slowly? It depends. If people are going to be waiting for you to daven the Amidah, then there is such a thing as daven too slowly. There comes a point where it comes to Tircha D'Tzibura. But if people are not going to be waiting for you to daven the Amidah, then there's no such thing as daven too slowly. In the case of Rabbi Akiva, it was only a function of whether he was going to be davening alone or with a minion. Because if he was going to be with a minion, then everyone was going to wait for him. But for most people, the minyan doesn't wait for them to start the repetition of the Amidah. So it seems that whether you're davening with a minyan or without a minyan, there's no such thing as davening too slowly. And there's no such thing as adding too many tachanunim or saying the word slowly, too slowly. Because if the only concern is for Tircha D'Tzibura and no one cares about how long I'm taking, then it seems that the answer would be there's no such thing as davening too long.
Yeah, I think the Chazon Ish says, I said it with somebody else, that you should wait for the rabbi up to a certain point, and then it's enough already, and then you go on.
What's the point?
I don't know.
Right, that's the problem.
But he says,
okay, so...
I just an anecdote. Rabbi, you know the Tights Yeshiva, the famous Tights Yeshiva in New Jersey?
Yeah.
So I knew old man Tights, and I went there once. My cousin went there, and he would get in the corner, wrap himself with Talis and Dao, and I remember somebody said, and there was a guest, Albany, so he said, come on, Rabbi Tice is still in the corner davening. The guy goes, hey, he makes a hit, so we never wait for him. Go ahead.
Okay.
So then why would Rabbi Akiva, so my question is, this was leading to somewhere, why would Rabbi Akiva not tell them, look, don't wait for me, rather than shorten?
Good question. Maybe, I don't know, I'm not sure. I have not seen that addressed, why they would not tell him. Okay, so that's one Gemara, which seems, again, if we understand it this way, it seems to be saying if someone's davening alone, then one could take as much time as they want in their Amidah. However, there is another Gemara, which seems to lead us to another opinion, and that is the Gemara which you find on page 2 in the handout.
Rabbi Akiva had 24,000 students eventually, right? He was one of the greatest rabbis.
Okay, here we go. So now we're talking about Tfilat Chana, the the prayer of Chana has a special place in Judaism because many of our minhagim, many of our practices when it comes to saying the Amidah, come from what Chana did. However, let's read the Gemara here. We'll see something about davening too long. Amar Rav Hamanuna. We're in the right column, that second paragraph. Amar Rav Hamanuna. Kama hilchata givirvata ika lemishma mehani kura'e dechana. How many important laws can be learned from these verses relating to Chana? The verses relating to Chana's prayer, which are in Samuel 1, chapter 1. V'chana hi medaberet aliba. Chana was speaking in her heart. Mikan lemitpalel tzarich shechaven libo. From here we learn that one who prays must direct his heart towards God. Only her lips move. Mikan lemit palel sheyach toch besvatav. Right, this is the halacha that we follow. From here we derive that one must when one prays, one must pronounce the words with their lips. Vikolah lo yishamea, but her voice was not heard. Mikan she asur lahagbia kolo b'tfila. From here we derive that it is forbidden to raise one's voice during the prayers. Vayach sheveha Eli lishikora. So Eli thought she was drunk, right? Because she's moving her lips, but you don't hear anything. Right? That's like she's talking to herself, like she was drunk. From here we derive that a drunkard is not permitted to daven. Okay, so we learn these halachot from Chana. One.
How come people say the words out loud from time to time? You do that.
In an undertone. Amida. The Amida we're talking about.
Oh, the Amida.
The Amida.
It's the Amida.
Right, the Amida. In an undertone with your lips moving with kavana and not drunk. Okay? Now, so this is the straightforward way of learning the Gemara. Let's look on page 3 of the sources. Page 3 is a photocopy from the Maharsha, one of the commentaries who comments on the non-halachic material in the Gemara. And it's bracketed off on the top of the page. Everyone see that? Mikan asur lehitpalel. Ra'a b'tfilata shayu sifateha na'ot. She saw in her prayer that her lips were moving. And regarding the fact that he thought she was drunk, Perush Rashi Sham, Rashi explains there on the Gemara, Shelo Hayu Rigilin Lihit Palel Belachash. It was uncommon for them to daven quietly. Ad Kan Lashona. So why did Eli think that she was drunk? Because she davened quietly, right? She davened quietly, and that was not the common practice then. And so he thought that she was drunk. She didn't realize what she was doing. So he says, "Ve'ein nira." It doesn't seem to me that this is the proper explanation of what's going on in this story. "Ve'ein nira kain mitocha sugya dika'amar mikan she'asur lagbia kolo." The fact of the matter is that the Gemara says, from here we learn that one is not allowed to raise their voice in davening. V'chi hayu regilim lasot shelo kedin. Right? What did he walk in and just assume Chana was acting not in accordance with the halacha? V'chi hayu regilim lasot shelo kedin. V'lama chashra l'shikura. So then, why did he think she was drunk? Kevan shekedin. Asta, meaning she was davening quietly, and that was the custom to daven. She was davening quietly, and he was surprised that she was davening quietly. So he comes in and says, "You must be drunk. Why? Because you're davening properly? That doesn't make any sense. Because he said we know that it was asur. So why would he come in and think she was drunk if she's doing the right thing? She was davening quietly." Ella diyesh lomar shechashva l'shikura mishum dehir beta lehitpalel. Why did he think she was drunk? Because she was taking too long. She was taking too long to daven. Ukumo shekatuv la'ad matai tishtakarun. Right? What does he say in the Gemara? How long are you going to be drunk? Right? How long are you going to act in this way? Right, we go back into the text of the Gemara. He says, "Ad matai tishtakarin." How long are you going to be drunk for? Meaning, how long are you going to act drunk? You're davening for too long. You're taking too long to daven. Right? And then he quotes a midrash that says that one who lengthens their tefillah, their days are shortened. So here we have a completely different take. The first Gemara that says Rabbi Akiva only shortened his tefillah when he was davening alone.
No,
when he was davening with Tzibor. And here we have a Gemara that seems to say that the reason why Eli was upset with Chana was that she was taking too long to daven. Presumably she was not davening in a minyan. She was not the person that people were waiting for to daven. He comes in and has this conversation with her. So these Gemarot seem to be contradicting one another. Okay. So he thought she was drunk because she was davening for so long. So it's not clear exactly what's going on in that Gemara. So now let's go back now to page 4 and look at the rest of the halachot regarding the first Gemara that we saw. Okay, so first we saw Rabbeinu Yonah and Rabbeinu Yehonatan said that the way that Rabbi Akiva would shorten his tefillah was by taking out some of the extra supplications and saying the words a little quicker. Okay? And the Gemara says, Mipnei Torech Tzibor, right? Next line, B'Gemara Muvaha Nimuk, Mipnei Torech Tzibor, U'Mivaeh Rabbeinu Yehonatan Shedarko Shesliach HaTzibor Hayta Lahamtin L'Gadol Shebekahal. So since they would wait for the Gadol Shebekahal, for the leader of the community, so then it was a tircha, it was a bother to the community to wait for that long. B'tosefta ne'emar, haya mekatzer mefnei kulam, v'lo muva l'kach nimuk. The Tosefta has a similar story, and it says that he would shorten his tefillah b'pnei kulam, for the sake of them all, or for all of them, but it doesn't specifically say mipnei torach tzibor. Gam birif birash lo muva hatam shel torach hatzibur. In other Rishonim, who explain this Gemara, he doesn't explain. The nimuk is like from the word depth, from the word deep amok.
Yeah.
So it's the in-depth understanding of what's going on here. Lo muva hatam shel torach hatzibur. So notwithstanding that Rabbeinu Yonah says the reason for this was because of torach hatzibur, the Rif and the Rush do not explain that this is because of Torah Chatzibor. Venira Shechein Haita Girsatam B'Gemara. They seem to have a different Gemara. V'chein Muvat Girsat Zubadikte Sofrim. Now this is really interesting. Gam HaRambam Kotev Raksha Mitpalelim HaTzibor Lo Yarich B'Tfilato Ve'eno Minamek. When the Rambam quotes the Halacha, he quotes this Halacha in Hilchot Tfila Perek Vav Halacha Bet. He says, "Hamit palel matzibor lo yarich et tefilato yoter midai."
Without
an explanation. Ukemochein eino kotev shedin zen emar davka begadol beit hakneset mo Rabbi Akiva. He also doesn't seem to say that this is about the gadol, the leader of the community. He just says simply, if you're davening with the congregation, don't daven along Shmon Esrei. Now that brings us to a completely different conclusion.
Everybody.
And then the question is, why? What's the big deal? Right, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, the reason why Rabbi Akiva shortened his tefillah is because Torah Hatzibor, because they're going to wait for him. And that's not right. But according to the Rush, and the Rif, and the Rambam, who do not explain that the reason is because of Torah Chatzibor. And specifically the Rambam seems to indicate that nobody who's davening in a congregation should lengthen their tefillah. What could be wrong with davening along Shmon Esrei? What could be the problem? What's the big deal? We'll get to that. V'chamokein eino kotev shadin zan emar davka b'gadol b'kazin. Seems to everyone. Rabbeinu David haramam mivaer shegam l'dat haramam hatam hu mishum Torah Chatzibor. According to Rav David Aramad, the Rambam does mean the same thing as Rabbeinu Yonah, because of Torah Chatzibor. Ela shemin hagam hayalam timat shekulam yisaimu et tefilatam. Why does the Rambam say that nobody should daven along Shmon Esrei? It is because of Torah Chatzibor, but not because they wait for the Gadol, but because the minhag there was that not to start the Amida, the repetition of the Amida, until everybody finished davening. Lachen kol echad shemich b'tefilato gorim l'Torah. Anyone who davens a long Shmon Esrei causes this burden on the congregation. Like I said before, in our congregations, where it's not the custom to wait for everyone, it's only the congregation to wait for the Gadol, and then there seems to be no problem with davening long Shmon Esrei.
It's just that, right, there's no reason to prevent a person from doing that.
Right. Now, we're still stuck, though, with the Chana story. Right? Why was, if she was davening, what was wrong with her davening such a long Shmon Esrei? Right? So, there is an explanation.
Chana predates the Shmon Esrei, no?
What's the problem with her davening such a long prayer? That seems to be the Ailey's problem. What's the problem?
Was Ailey watching her that long, or just saw her?
Well, long enough to realize that she was davening for too long, according to the Maharsha.
But he didn't know she was praying. He thought she was drunk. That's what I thought.
According to the Maharsha, no. He thought, why do you think she was drunk? Because she was davening for too long. He knew she was davening.
Oh, I thought that he thought that she was drunk and talking to herself.
No, that you walked out for that. The Maharsha has a completely different explanation of what's going on.
It's my wife. What am I going to do?
Okay. So let's learn. The next thing I think may help us answer the question. Hari Kapach. Rabbi Kapach is, he died, I don't know, in the 80s. He was considered to be the expert on the proper text of the Rambam. He was a Yemenite, and he basically spent his time making sure that we have as proper text of the Rambam as we could have. And he published the Rambam, what he thought was the proper text, based on manuscripts and based on cross references, etc.
He wasn't the guy that went to the Vatican, was he?
I don't know. Rav Yosef Kapach Mivaer, She'ein Tamo Shel HaRambam Mishum Torech. Right? According to Rav David Arama, even though the Rambam doesn't say it was because of Torah HaTzibor, that's what he meant. The difference is between him and Rabbeinu Yonah is this difference whether you wait for the Gadol or wait for everyone. Rav Kapach says it has nothing to do with waiting for anyone. Ela Mishum Yuhara. What's Yuhara? Yuhara is a fascinating concept. It means religious haughtiness. Meaning someone's davening a long Shmona Esrei, putting themselves out there as a great, pious tzaddik. Really, don't daven such a long Shmona Esrei to make yourself like the Gadol.
To stand that.
Yuhara. No, I think it's an Aramaic word. V'lachein muvan madua kotev harambam din ze legabe kol adam. Right now we understand why the Rambam says this has nothing to do with the Gadol. This has to do with everybody. Meaning, nobody should put themselves up like that. And maybe that's what Ailey was upset about. And maybe Ailey thought that Chana was davening too long, and he thought it was not proper for her to do that. Aval yesh la'ir al kach sh'Rabbi Akiva kitzer l'marot sheitz l'loya makom l'chashos l'yora. There's a problem with Rav Kapach's explanation. If it's not about Torech, then why did Rabbi Akiva slow down?
Because of that.
What do you mean? He was the greatest. There's no problem of Yuhara for you, the greatest. No. Right? Yuhara doesn't apply to the person who legitimately is the pious person. Yuhara only applies to those of us who aren't the pious person. That's what he says. What's Yuhara? Fake piety. Right? Yuhara is a pretentiousness.
Ah, okay.
Right? Pretend piety. There was no, Rabbi Akiva wasn't pretending to be pious, he really was. And so his long Shmon Esrei was legitimate. So that's sort of we don't have a good answer to that question, although I happen to like Rabbi Kapach's explanation of the Rambam, that it's not about Torah Tzibor, it's really about Yuhara, and maybe that's what Ailey was upset about regarding Chana. Meaning she was drunk and she was davening so long, maybe she was not in the right frame of mind and she didn't really understand how she should be davening and what her place was. And then her answer says, no, I'm not drunk and this is not Yuhara, I'm davening for a child. I'm really heartbroken. This is not Yuhara and I'm not drunk. I am really, really distressed and so I'm pouring out my soul before Hashem.
There's a problem here. I know a rabbi, I don't want to mention his name, was always saying, don't say these things by rote. Look at them. Think about them. Right? Don't be blah, 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 blah. Well, that takes time.
Right.
because of him, it takes me longer to do the Shemona Esrei.
Right.
Right?
So I don't...
How do you, you know, it's a very... And especially if you have a kehilah that... There are a lot of people who are davening that way, enough to, for the rabbi to get up and say, hey, come on. So then where do you, where does it...
Well, because first of all, we still have rabbi, we still have the first opinion, which is this is only applies to the gadol. It doesn't apply to the individuals.
Right.
And again, I'm not sure if our tefillot, even the, you know, even in our, even in a standard congregation, the longest Amida, you know, I get it's hard to quantify
exactly
what Yuhara is, but I wouldn't, it doesn't concern me.
No, well, but here's the thing. If the way you would normally do it, right, is if this congregation takes 5 minutes and you take 8, that's Yuhara. If this congregation and you take 12, if this takes 5 and you take 15, that's Yuhara, right?
But I don't know about that. Okay. I don't know. I'm not sure.
But what I'm saying is that if another congregation ordinarily takes 15,
right,
so then you're in a different
place. So maybe it could be, but again, it doesn't. I think first of all that the halacha is probably like the Rabbeinu Yonah.
Just for the gadol, right?
Yeah, and.
But you know, say it's very. This Yuhara thing is interesting because, you know, then the measure would be the amount of time that particular tzibur takes.
It could be that that's the measure. I'm not sure.
There are some places in Israel, I know, my son went there. He said, we didn't get out of there until 3:30. He said, it drove me nuts.
Right.
I was exaggerating only a little.
Right?
I included the kiddies.
I don't know. It's a good question. But it doesn't seem... I don't think that in the, you know, in a standard shul, even the longest Shemona Esrei rises to the level of Yuhara. It doesn't seem to me.
What I'm saying, if everybody takes that long,
no, even if
then
not,
it couldn't.
No, even if not,
it couldn't.
Right, if everyone does it, because, but even if not, it just doesn't seem to me to be that that's what it's talking about. This seems to me to be an obviously extended, very, very long Shemona Esrei, where people start to look at you and say, you know, what's with that guy? I don't think 8 minutes versus 5 minutes rises to that level.
Rabbi Akiva, the only reason that Rabbi Akiva was by himself, right, when he would do this. So it couldn't be Yuhara. His party's alone.
No, what he's saying is, why was he Mikatzer during the public recitation?
But you could
that
the
also
Yuhara
shouldn't be Yuhara.
For him. He didn't want people to think, oh, look at me. And when he's alone, he didn't.
Maybe.
It's alone, you couldn't think that.
Maybe, could be.
I don't know.
Okay, let's. I just want to look at one other thing, which I'm not sure exactly how it applies, but it talks about the long davening. Let's look at back to page 1. So this is still back on Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph in Masechet Brachot, on the right side, where the arrow is on the right column. Gemara here is a brighter. Yachol yitpalel adam kol hayom kulo. It might be thought that a person can daven all day long. Now, all day long is translated here as it might be thought that a person may pray as frequently as he chooses over the course of the entire day. But I'm not so sure if that's what it means. Yachol adam litpalel kol hayom kulo, all day long. That's a long davening. Anyway, so then the Gemara goes and says, Kvar mifurash al-yidei Daniel. It has already been clarified that this is not proper. By Daniel, vizimnin tilata. He davened 3 times a day. That's it. Yachol mishabah ligola. That's it. We'll stop there, right? He davened 3 times a day. He didn't daven all day long. He managed to daven each time short enough, right, to daven just 3 times a day, right? Now, if we look at back in the Maharsha on this, this is the last page of the handout, page number 5. It's the fourth wide line in the top. It's bracketed. Yachol yitpalel adam kol hayom. Vadai tfila hikvua l'chol adam neged tmidin. Certainly, our tfilot have been established based on the times that the sacrifices were brought. This is why the Gemara is translated the way it is. That's talking about 3 times. But It is related. Right? We're not supposed to daven, according to one translation, it would be, you're not supposed to daven anytime you want. You're not supposed to just break into a Shmona Esrei anytime you want. You're supposed to daven three times a day based on the sacrifices. D'lo havi rak gimel tefilot. And therefore, equals three tefilot. V'chein leman da'amar avot tiknum kederin rosh perek tefilat ha'shachar. And even according to the ones who say that our tefilot are based on what Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov did, the same thing applies. One for each of them. Right. Ela da'achi kamar. Yachol sherashut hu ladam lepalel kol hayom. One would think that someone is permitted to daven all day long. Uperush hari below chidush. What does it mean below chidush? One could think they could daven Shmoneh Esreis any time of the day that they want, without adding anything new. Umaisi mi Daniel dehavi mafish barach mituva al hagalut vafilu hachilo yamit palel rak talasa zimn biyoma. That he was davening for the redemption, but even he only did it three times a day. What seems to emerge from this is that you could daven more than three times a day if the other times is a chidush in your tefillah. There's something new in the tefillah. Then you could daven additional. But you can't daven an additional Shmon Esrei if there's no chidush in the tefillah.
So you could, could chidush be the tachanonim?
Yeah.
So you do it, they have to be different. Same, and at the end you put another paragraph?
Yeah, it should be, yeah. Something should be added in there. Yes.
We don't do that, though. No,
it's not customary to do that. But it seems that from this, they'll be permitted to do that. One other interesting thing about... So this is not really related, if you understand it this way, not about davening a long Shmona Esrei, it's about davening extra Shmona Esreis. Mm-hmm. And even Daniel, who had so much to daven for, right, the redemption, he still only did it three times a day. Okay, now, one other point. You don't have this in your hands out. This is from the Shulchan Aruch. In Hilchot Brachot, Siman Nun Gimel, Shliach Tzibor Shemarich B'Tfilato Kedei SheYishmu'u Kolo Arev. A chazan who davens a lengthy repetition of the Amidah in order so that his beautiful voice can be heard. Imhu Mechamat SheSameach B'Libo Al Shenotein Hoda'a L'Hashem Itbarach B'Ni'ima. If this is being done that because he's so happy and he's giving praise to God with this pleasant singing, Tavo alav bracha, that person should be blessed. That's wonderful. V'ushit palel b'choved rosh v'omed be'ema uv'yira. As long as he's davening with a certain amount of seriousness, with awe and fear. Aval im michavein la'shmia kolo, if the point is just to have his voice heard, v'sameach b'kolo, and he's happy by hearing his own voice, harei ze migune. That is improper. Umikom akom, nonetheless, meaning even if you're in the first category, that you're doing it for a proper purpose, kol shemarich betfilato lo tov oseh, someone who davens a lengthy, this seems to be in the context of the chazan, who davens for a lengthy period of time, he's not acting properly. Why? Mipnei torach hatzibur, because of the burden it puts on the in the community. So now I just want to read the Mishnah Brura because of Torah HaTzibur. The Mishnah Brura says, Katav ka biyam shel Shlomo, Asur lo larich shelo beratzon hakal, afilu b'Shabbos. One is not allowed to lengthen their davening without the permission of the congregation, even on Shabbos v'Yom Tov. V'af beratzon hakal, even if the congregation allows, yoter midai miguneh, too much is not allowed, ki ein zeh, Lo mechetzu l'Hashem, lo mechetzu l'Hashem. On Shabbos, you're supposed to spend half your day on godly pursuits and half your day on enjoyable pursuits, and this doesn't fall into either category. This seems to be like a neutral category. Kasev sherek nesek gadola b'shem tshuvas ri beruna sheyach tzibor shenefsal kolo.
It is enjoyable if the congregation agrees because they want to hear his beautiful voice.
Right, and Mr. Brewer is disagreeing. That's not chetzu l'Hashem. That's... Or it's
but
a good
an enjoyable pursuit.
Right, that's interesting. It doesn't seem to be... Yeah, that's a good question. So that's the third sort of application of the question of davening too long. The first is, are we allowed to daven too long on our own? And we saw a distinction between davening betzibur and davening privately, and maybe the distinction is only applies to the gadol shebekahal, or may because of Torah Hatzibur, or may apply to everyone because of yuhara, or may apply to everyone because of Torah Hatzibur. Because it may apply to everyone because of Torah Hatzibur. Remember, because according to the Rambam, it seems that they waited for everyone. So three different ways to explain that. Then we have the question of, are you allowed to daven extra Shmona Esrays throughout the day? And that may depend on whether or not you add something to the Shmona Esray or not. And finally, the question of, is the Shliach Tzibur allowed to lengthen the Tefillah? It seems that they're allowed to do it a little bit, but too much is not allowed because it's Torah Hatzibur and takes away from the other things we're supposed to be doing on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Even if it's for the right reason.
Right.
Too much is not allowed because it takes away from the proper the time that we're supposed to be spending doing other things on Shabbat and Yom Tov. So there's three different applications to the question of is there such a thing as davening too slowly or too long?
Let me ask you another question. Does this apply to other activities in the synagogue that lengthen the tefillah, like carrying the Torah around all the way around, and just asking?
Or long sermon?
I think you have to balance. I think you have to balance. I think it does. I think you have to balance between Torah Hatzibur and another important Jewish concept of Shalom Bayit. Right? You have to balance between not making the davening too long, and also between, in certain types of shuls, catering to the needs of different populations, even if, as crazy as this may sound, some of those people are women.
Right.
Even if they're women, we have to be concerned. I say this sarcastically, because you asked the question sarcastically.
Coming from a non-kissing the Torah tradition, I just wanted to get it and put it up there.
Right. And there is. That's interesting.
It's
an interesting discussion, right? But again, so that's the thing. That's the challenge that we have to remember whenever we learn a halacha. Whenever we learn a halacha, and this often happens, right, when kids go to yeshiva for a year in Israel and learn a halacha, you're supposed to sit for Kiddush. And they come home, and for the first 17 years of their life and their father's whole life, he's been standing for Kiddush.
Right.
But they assume off the bat that the father's wrong, and that now they're going to make a big deal of sitting for Kiddush. So the problem is that the rabbis there don't teach two things. First of all, that there are other opinions. And second of all, that there's such a thing as Shalom Bayit. And there are other. So whenever you learn a halacha, it's good to try to implement that halacha as well as we can, but there's almost no case where there are no other factors to be taken into consideration.
So that would include raising money.